Mr. Walton, did you make contact with aliens? Were you taken to another planet, to a mothership? How did they communicate with them? Can you tell me what they look like? Can you tell me how many of them there were? Were you given food?
But the teachers are alive. They're not books. They are the very living essences of nature itself.
What a strange person.
Unbelievably powerful supercomputer that's running our reality, and we don't have a clue as to how to operate it.
So when maybe you or somebody else creates an AGI system, and you get to ask her one question, what would that question be?
What's outside the simulation?
Say in your mind, say to yourself, I am more than my physical body. Because I am more than physical matter, I can perceive that which is greater than the physical world.
Studying ceremonial magic was the moon, because they had so much focus on the moon, right? Even when you first started doing your the first rituals of balancing and banishing and all of these things, they wanted you to pay close attention to where the moon was astrologically, what phase the moon it was in. And anytime anybody does any kind of magic, knowing where the moon is and what phase it's in, it's very important. When the moon is full, crazy things happen. In fact, the statistics show that, but that could be like a fallacy too. All I can tell you is that intuitively, I know there's something to the moon and consciousness. On the Tree of Life, the moon is the planet that it represents Yesod right above Malkuth, and it's in the foundation. The barrier of consciousness between us here on the earth and the sun and Tifereth, the barrier, or the one thing that's in between us and our Christ-like consciousness. It's in touch with who we are, our emotions, our astral body. It's the one thing that helps us communicate with the soul. And the one thing I know for sure, that if you're doing manifestation or magical practices, that you need to pay attention to. Our guest tonight is Constance Victoria Briggs, and she'll be coming on here shortly. ConstanceVBriggs.com is the website. And she wrote a book about the moon mysteries. The moon is probably the most mysterious and the most beautiful thing in the night sky to me. In fact, I remember when I was driving back from, where I was recently when I was away. The moon came over the mountains here on the East Coast, and it was so big, kind of like cartoonishly big. And there's something very nostalgic about it. I catch myself, especially when I was back home in Arkansas, I would catch myself staring at the moon for hours at a time. I feel like it has a direct connection to my soul for some reason. A direct connection to all of the things that make me feel and all of the things that make me feel very nostalgic. In fact, when I look at a night sky when the new moon is out, one of the reasons why I like having Mary on when the new moon is out is because I can't see it, right? It doesn't feel the same. And I prefer a moonlit beach more than a sunlit beach. Even though I love and adore sunsets, I'm far more comfortable sitting on a beach at night with a full moon. Dionne Fortune's website, The Society of the Inner Light, if you go to that website, and she was one of the original members of the Golden Dawn, the magical order that we talk about quite a bit on this show. You'll see a picture of that same thing. The moon just bouncing off of the ocean water. I remember I don't know how to say this without getting emotional, but I've been doing the show for a long, long time now. And whether you know it or not, as many people as I've talked to, as many friends as it may seem that I have, I've been in isolation for a long time, way before COVID, way before that. And before I started the show, I used to sit outside and I would like make a bonfire and listen to Art Bell. And if it was a moonlit sky, it would be the best thing ever. It was the one thing I looked forward to. I loved the moon and the mysteries of it way before I learned anything esoteric about it. So it was all the more fantastic to me to learn that it actually had some real power when I started learning about it. And to get into the origins of it, to think about where the hell did it come from? There's a lot of stories about that too. There's theories that it's a spaceship. There's theories that it's not even real, that it's artificial. There's been tons of UFOs seen around the moon. We've had magicians come on this show and talk about the spirits of the moon. Astrologers like Jeff Harmon discuss how powerful it is. Then there's also the Apollo astronauts, the encounters that it seems they had on their journeys to the moon. The people that talk about the structures on it. A weird connection to aliens, possibly. There's so many different anomalies about it. It's so mysterious. It's almost like it's the eye in the sky watching us. Like that Alan Parsons Project song, you know? Then, you know, people get into, there's bases and colonies on or inside the moon. I want to discuss a lot of this stuff. But I think when you talk to somebody about the moon, and this has been very rare in my life, And just talking about the moon to someone, it triggers a deep conversation. Those people are tapped into something. It's this is the point about the moon itself, is you can't define why it's so mysteriously beautiful. And I know all of you that listen to this show and that have listened to the show for quite some time are the same type of people. That you love the night sky and that you like subjects about these things. We all inherently know that there is something directly connected to our consciousness and the moon. And in fact, if you study the Rosicrucian Mysteries of the Golden Dawn, they discuss it very, very thoroughly. What it actually does, that you yourself have a lunar body. They talk about this, and you look at the front cover of the book, it'll show a solar glyph coming over. Actually, it shows like a hexagram with the sun in the middle coming up above the water, but the water is a representation of the moon. Also, it's also a representation of female energy in some of the mysteries too, right? But more so, it's a representation of the thing that controls the ebb and flow of the waters. And what do I mean when I say that? Do I mean the ocean? Well, yeah, it does that too. And Night Stalker talks about this a lot. He brings up the mysteries of the rivers and the waters and how this is always brought up and it seems to always be a thing. And he's right. He has an intuition about it. He knows there's something to it. And when I think about intuition, I think about the moon. I also think about if there was no moon, we wouldn't have an intuition. And the Egyptians knew the power of the moon. Sometimes what I'm saying is the moon is the one thing that has kept me company in isolation. And that night that I had an out-of-body experience, I actually found my old journal when I wrote about it. I was digging through my old pictures today. And that night that triggered everything for me, the moon was bright and full. And I even wrote down that I saw it when I was out of body. I didn't even remember that. How could I have forgotten that? My dreams have been so incredibly vivid lately that I feel like it's time to get back into this. The mysteries of this, the mysteries of magic, the moon, and the out of body experience. And explore consciousness. I'm really tired of this COVID stuff. It's like pissing in the wind at this point. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Because there is no other choice right now than to explore yourself and your own consciousness and take care of yourself. I'm not saying don't have connections and don't have relationships. Don't talk to people. I'm not saying any of that. But what I'm saying is there is something going on right now, and it's very lunar in nature. It's causing us to deal with the deepest parts of ourself. And when you look up the moon in astrology, what does it represent, right? Your moon sign. It represents the things that you hide the most about yourself. The things that emotionally fulfill you, but also the things that you keep hidden, that you hide from the world. And then you have your rising sign, right? But what'll happen is if you can learn to use, and this is what I've come to know, if you can learn to use your solar energy, which is the easiest thing for you to be, your sun sign, and express your lunar energy, you'll become the rising sign that you need to become, who you are becoming in this life, right? Mine is Libra, so I have no idea what that means. I Am I becoming balanced? Is that what that is? I don't know. I want you all to try this with me just for like 30 days. And tell me your experiences. Pay close attention to the astrological sign the moon it is, or the moon is in, and the phase it's in. You probably need to do this for a few moon cycles, because the moon cycles are everything, right? The moon cycles run in 28 days, and there are things on this earth, especially in a female nature, I don't really have to talk about that runs in those cycles. And it doesn't mean that that's connected to the moon, but I kind of think it is. There is a very beautiful feminine energy, spiritual energy, that's connected to the moon. And when I was doing that past life regression with Daniel Alexa, by the way, he's doing trips to Peru. He hit me up on Messenger. So I want to say hey to everybody from Daniel. But when I went through that past life regression, he took me under for like 30 minutes. But what he asked me before, and I guess it's okay to reveal this, what he asked me before was, what relaxes you the most? What makes you feel at peace the most? If you could imagine the most relaxing thing. And I told him, which is what is pretty much on the cover of the Golden Dawn book, is a sunset that turns into a moonlit beach. And then he painted this massive visual picture. It was very magical. We all tap into this in our own ways. So these professional guys that can take you under, they do the same thing. They take you on a journey, right? And I remember that being a trigger for me. That I can literally imagine at any point in time, even if the moon's not out, I can go there in my mind and imagine a moonlit beach. And it takes me to the internal realms every single time. So what am I rambling about? In short, the mystery of the moon, the knowing that there's something about it that's very, very real. It's very real. And my second goal, and I'm going to talk about this in the Astral Journal with the patrons, is to astrally travel to the moon. I want to see the dark side of the moon. Who doesn't? Right? People have seen all kinds of weird stuff about it. You guys remember when John Lear was talking about it, what he said, that all the stuff that was on the moon? How is that possible? I don't know if any of that's true, but he was talking about like beings of aliens and bases and all kinds of stuff up there. Night Stalker says a Sag sun, a Capricorn moon, and a Libra rising. Well, that makes sense. I'm a Libra rising too, brother. That Capricorn moon, though, oof. That's scary, but that's good for you. But essentially in astrology, what I'm saying is if you study your moon sign, you know how to take care of yourself. If you want to know how to take care of yourself emotionally, just look at your moon sign. You don't have to deny it. It's not going to go away. Right? Look at what that energy is about. That's how you take care of yourself. Rambling Lunar Joe, yeah. So we're going to talk about this stuff with Constance Victoria Briggs, right? I want to know what inspired her to write about the moon, what her thoughts are on it, the origins, how it relates to ufology. Why am I and others that listen to the show so damn attracted to it, drawn to it? There's the one thing that really does have some kind of power, right? Over men and women alike. Can you imagine a night sky without it? And right now, the thing that makes me sick is that the United States, China, and Russia are literally kind of going at it right now about territories on the moon. Isn't it like us? Like we do that enough on the Earth, you know, but now they're really kind of like, we got a space force. There could be, I know it sounds crazy, but there could be a possible war over land on the moon. Just like that movie Ad Astra. They are not joking about moving humans to the moon. It's going to happen very soon, a lot sooner than I think we realize. I just think it's funny, right? Because it's literally like every science fiction movie we've ever watched that we came to love, we're about to be in. Now, there's a lot of political articles on this, too. I wouldn't pay too much attention to them. There's some people blaming Trump, saying that because Trump didn't get along with China and Russia, that, you know, that they're fighting for mining rights on the moon, etc. That you have to know when you're reading bias articles, though, right? You just got to know there's political bias and everything. But they're predicting that asteroid and moon mining could be worth trillions of pounds. And this is after a metallic asteroid, which was 140 miles wide and worth, check this out, right? It was worth an estimated $10,000 quadrillion. How did they calculate that? Now, this is a bias article, but this is what it says. It says, in failing to engage Russia and China in the Artemis Accords, the Trump administration has now been accused of exacerbating a national security threat. Now, this is all over the moon, which is ridiculous. There was an opportunity to secure in outer space a whole massive section of the moon by engaging Russia and China as partners. But they're saying that because Trump didn't get along with them, that it has driven China and Russia towards an increased cooperation in space out of fear and necessity. So they're partnering up. And it's going to be like the U.S. versus Asia, pretty much. China and Russia together up there on the moon. Now, we can look at this in history, though, when one country decides to start seizing other territories and what happens, right? It's pretty stupid. I can't imagine a war on the moon, but we have a space force. So I'm going to make a new prediction here on this show. Within the next 5 years, there's going to be some type of stupid war for mining rights on the moon. You watch. I don't even know what to say about it, man. Like we're living inside of a science fiction movie. All right. But we're going to talk, that was just a side note. It made me think about that because I was reading about that the other day. But I still got to find the whole article about it, though. Maybe we can talk about it. But more than that, we want to talk about the mysteries of the moon and the esoteric stuff about it, as well as how it connects to ufology. Constance Victoria Briggs is our guest coming up after this. We're going to take a short break, and we'll bring her on. I'm Joe Roop. This is Lighting the Void. Stay with us. We'll be right back. to Lighting the Void. I'm your host, Joe Root. Our guest tonight is here with us, Constance Victoria Briggs. Before we get this conversation started, I want to welcome one of our first affiliates, which is KFSA News Talk from Baker Broadcasting in Fayetteville. Back home in Fayetteville, that's a nice college town, so we ought to get a pretty good audience there. They're going to be replaying our shows on the weekends. They're going to be replaying Lighting the Void, The Rogie Report, Dave Cruz and Alex Exum. And if you guys like any of our shows on the Fringe FM and you have a local radio station, tell them that you want to hear Fringe Late Night. You can call it the Fringe FM or Fringe Late Night, and have them contact us at producer@thefringe.fm. All right, so let's bring on our guest here. Constance Victoria Briggs is here with us, and we're going to be discussing what we talked about. And she's a metaphysical, spiritual, and cosmic researcher and writer, and she has authored several books, The Encyclopedia of Angels, The Encyclopedia of God, and The Encyclopedia of the Unseen World, and The Encyclopedia of the Moon Mysteries. Constance has also been a guest speaker on several radio shows discussing the paranormal, extraterrestrials, life after death, near-death experiences, as well as other related topics, and it's her goal to investigate the mysteries of the universe and how they connect to humanity. She and her family make their home there in Southern California, which is probably a fantastic place to view the moon. Thanks for coming on, Constance. It's good to have you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me this evening.
Well, I am glad to have you. And I guess I just want to start this off with what inspired you to write about the moon mysteries.
Yeah, you know, I'm one of those people who was always curious about whether or not, you know, we were alone in the universe. I'm fascinated with the idea of, you know, other worlds and extraterrestrials, and, you know, I'm a Trekkie. And so, you know, my sort of side hobby there was to, you know, to research and explore and try to come up with, you know, all the information I could learn on this subject. But, you know, I had written the books on angels and God and the unseen world, and this was kind of, you know, I sort of stepped out of my area there with the Moon Mysteries book, but I stumbled across a little publication by the name of Our Mysterious Spaceship Moon more than a couple of years ago. And it really opened my eyes. This was written by a UFO researcher named Don Wilson. He talked about all of the strange things going on with our moon. I mean, this book was written in the 70s. So a lot has actually happened since he wrote the book, too. But I didn't know until I read Don's book that we had so many anomalies going on with you know, our closest celestial neighbor there, the moon. So that's what really got me started on my research. It was just very eye-opening. And from there, I took it and kind of ran with it and found out some very interesting information. And I started collecting the stories. That's what I do. You know, I write and I collect the stories, and I'm kind of a historian and a keeper of, you know, tidbits of information. And yeah, so it turned into this this little book that I wrote for people who may have the same curiosity about life in other worlds and in our moon.
Yeah, it's really cool subject. And I was talking to the audience before this about how, you know, we are, for some reason, the people that love these mysteries are extremely attracted to the moon. Some of us even prefer moonlight over sunlight, and I don't know why, but there is an energy about it too that we could talk about and intuitively. But even when you study the mysteries, they bring up the moon quite a bit, and it seems to have a real connection to our consciousness. So, but before we go down that road, what did you uncover, or at least what are your thoughts on the origins of the moon? Because there's several theories about it.
Right. So basically, that's one of the most fascinating parts to my story is learning, you know, we're taught in school that the moon is natural, it's normal, it's a big kind of dead, dry rock in the sky and not much going on there. And then, you know, when I got my, you know, hands into this research, I understood that there have been five main theories to the origin of the moon, and none of them have panned out. The scientists has dismissed four of them, and they still are hanging on to the giant impact theory, some scientists, while others have gone ahead and dismissed it. You would think that after all of the research and studies that has gone into the moon, and if you are a believer, and there's some people that are not, but if you're a believer that we actually went to the moon, you would think that they would have more of an idea of where the moon came from. They really don't. Very interesting stuff. So if I could share with your audience, I have a favorite quote written by a science writer. You may have heard, know him, Isaac Asimov, who, this was one of my favorite quotes. He once stated, "What in blazes is our moon doing way out there? It's too far out to be a true satellite of Earth. It's too big to have been captured by the Earth. The chances of a capture having been affected and the moon then having taken up a nearly circular orbit about the Earth are too small to make such an eventuality credible. But then if the moon is neither a true satellite of the Earth nor a captured one, what is it?" Well, we don't know what it is. And I just want to tell you that besides the capture theory, after that capture theory came the giant impact theory, where they speculated that a Mars-sized planet that they named Theia, T-H-E-I-A, hit the Earth. And when it hit the Earth, the scientists said that the material from the Earth's crust, you know, and it spewed out spewed out there into the galaxy and formed this sphere, and that became our moon. However, when we brought rocks back from the moon, when the astronauts brought them back, they learned that there is about a 500 million year discrepancy between the Earth and some of the rocks. And so, you know, they're saying, oh, well, you know, that kind of throws out the whole theory that it was a giant impact that caused the moon. So they don't know. And that was the latest. So there have been some interesting ideas that have come about since then. And one of my favorite is that the moon is actually not a natural satellite. When I talk with people about this, they're so surprised to hear it. And then they're asking why, you know, why would they even, you know, think that? Well, because they're in the 1970s, two Russian scientists came forward with an idea after looking at some of NASA's information. After looking at these things, the craters, for example, they looked at, they're abnormal. No matter how deep a crater is, they're all measuring the same sort of, they're all the same depth, which is, of course, not normal. They looked at the materials that the moon is made of there and they found out there are some very strange materials that they had not expected. Zirconium, titanium, I can't remember all of the words just at this second, but there's three of them, and these are very hard metals, and they said it's not normal that these metals would be used in armor, or they would be used in building something that you don't want to be damaged. These materials or elements are so strange that they said it's completely unnatural for it to be, you know, on our moon. So they looked at that, and they also looked at the when the astronauts went up, they crashed a part of the lunar module into the moon a couple of times, actually. And we've all heard the saying that the moon rang like a bell. Well, it did. It reverberated for at one point for an hour. The second time they did it, it was 3 hours. And they said that, of course, that's not natural. So these two Russian scientists looked at some of this information, and they wrote a paper. They published it in Sputnik magazine there, and they said that their theory is that the moon is not a natural satellite, but that it was created somewhere else outside of our universe, and somehow these scientists, who are very reputable, said that this object had been brought across the universe and placed in Earth's vicinity purposely. That is their theory. This idea has taken off lately. You know, we do find some publications talking about it, some books talking about it. And yeah, it's become, you know, quite fascinating among the UFO community. Interestingly enough, along with that, there's a traditional story from the Zulu people of Africa, you know, going back centuries, where they have that says that our moon, according to their tradition, they referred to it as an egg, and they said that two extraterrestrial brothers had taken a planetoid and hollowed it out. They had taken out the yolk of the egg, and they had sent this thing across the universe. So that is a very ancient tale, and that's how we got our moon. So I found that was interesting, that ancient tale, and looking at the modern theory by these two Russian scientists that say basically the same thing.
Wow. Imagine if that is true. Would that make sense? Would that make everything make sense the way things are right now? It would, in a way, wouldn't it?
You know, they say that because, you know, there are a lot of, there's so many unanswered questions to the moon. There are so many mysteries, and that the only theory that really makes any sense, even though it's so far out there, is this theory. You know, if this thing was sent across the universe purposely, perhaps this is the reason that it's landlocked. Perhaps, there's some speculation that maybe it's actually inhabited by ETs. Who knows? If it were, that would explain some of the strange sightings up there, such as the anomalous lights that are up there that have been seen since the creation of the telescope. Strange lights, movement on the moon, moving shadows on the moon, streaks of light, clouds. Just, it's supposed to be, there's supposed to be nothing going on up there, but there's lots of activity. Who's causing this activity? So yeah, that's really, my favorite theory.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's really true, too, because there's been so many UFO sightings on the moon, as well as we have another show that we play on the network, Crow 777 Radio, who filmed tons of lunar anomalies. The people have tried to debunk them, and he's really shown them that there's some weird anomalies that go across the moon all the time, you know. And even in the esoteric and occult things that I've talked about on the show with guests and stuff, they discuss some of the largest spirits that are working with us in certain ways, either good or bad, are on the moon. It goes all the way back to the Egyptians, too, some of the things that they've talked about, you know, what the spirits of the moon, and it even has its own astrology. So there's some, whatever it is, it's highly mysterious, right? And I don't know if you've personally seen UFOs on the moon, but I'm sure people have. You've probably studied tons of reports about the UFOs on the moon, right?
I have actually had a couple of videos sent to me. There's one young man that is an astronomer who took some film and sent them, and you can see white objects flying around, going behind the moon, flying around the moon, and some that look like they're going in and out of some sort of opening in the moon. Interestingly enough, you mentioned moon spirits. He is Persian, and he says he has also, and he showed me this one too. It looked like a dark sort of a bird-like object flying around the moon. And he said he thinks it is a jinn, which is a magical being, you know, in Persian mythology. And, you know, he really made me think, because I have been looking at the idea of extraterrestrials, where I do know that there are spirits of all kinds. I wrote the book of angels. I've written the Unseen World book. And I know that we have many spiritual beings around, and that there are entities for different, you know, places in the cosmos. And of course, there could be spiritual beings involved with the moon. Now, are these the same beings that would be causing the anomalous lights and all of this? I don't think so. I think that these are two separate things going on. But just like Earth, you know, we have our, you know, the humans and the all of the physical here. But there are beings here that we cannot see. They're just beyond our range of sight. But they exist. And of course, I would think that an object, a celestial object such as the moon, could have that going on as well. So there's you know, far more to the story than we've been told, and that, you know, I think some people are just beginning to open their eyes and see and understand.
Yeah, I discussed this with Nineveh Shadrach. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he talked to me about the jinn on the moon. He wrote a whole book about it, an entire book about the spirits of the jinn on the moon. And talks about how they're extremely powerful and the most ancient beings on the earth. And a lot of times when we read about certain spirits, even in religious scripture, that they're actually talking about jinn. You know, he was Persian too. So there's a real mystery over there that goes, I think it felt true to me. It felt like there was some truth to it, even in mythologically true, so to speak, if that makes sense, you know?
Yeah.
But another weird thing too is, you know, each year the moon's orbit kind of moves around, moves about 4 centimeters away from the Earth. So at some point in 500 million years, probably, it'll be like 15,000 miles further away than it is right now. So it's kind of, it does feel like it's this thing that is doing its job, like it has a job to do, and then eventually it's going to go away. You know what I mean?
It's going to go away. And unless we have some sort of technology by then, if we're still here, that's a long time. If we have some sort of technology to actually create our own, another satellite, the Earth would be doomed. It's just, you know, it would do us in. Actually, part of, I mean, I don't know if it would be doomed, but life as we know it would change drastically.
Yeah, sure.
Interestingly enough, there are some stories about there being a time when the moon was not in the sky. So that sort of follows along the lines of the moon maybe being brought here by, you know, advanced beings. Because there are tales that said, you know, there was a people named the Arcadians who lived before the time of Job. Some of the ancient philosophers mentioned this time in their writings, and they named the Arcadians. They said that they were wild people, that the, you know, uncultured, wild, just living from the earth. And they lived before Job, which was before the belief in Jupiter, even, which, of course, you know, is very, very ancient. So
right, right.
There was a time where you know, the earth was quite different. When the moon came in, according to old writings found in Bolivia and on a sun, what they call a sun gate, these symbols, these writings said that the moon was brought in and it caused great chaos in the earth because of, you know, the mass. And it caused storms and all kinds of problems on the earth. But when everything settled, we got, you know, a very nice place that was stable to live in. And there is a theory that there are several theories. If you look at the spaceship moon theory, which I love, and the idea is that it could have been placed here by advanced beings for the purpose of helping Earth and helping life on it to thrive properly. Then there's another theory that it could be a kind of Noah's Ark sort of a contraption where, a sort of ship where people were escaping, perhaps their planet being destroyed or some sort of apocalyptic event, and people took this thing and got into it and left looking for somewhere to be and parked it here. It could be some sort of a generational ship where, you know, it just took thousands of years or however long it would take to, you know, move from one place to the other. And people could have grown up on the ship and, you know, passed and there's, it's just generational. There was I love Star Trek, and there was a show where there were people living inside of an asteroid, and it was a generational ship where these people had to escape. So it always reminds me of that story. They didn't know they were on a ship. They thought they were in they lived inside of this thing, and they thought, you know, they were on a planet. So I always think, could that be the case?
Very well could be. I actually think that could be true too. We were at the top of the hour already. So if you guys want to call in, we'll open up the phone lines. Just wait till we actually open them up to call in. Which that number is 1-800-588-0335. If you want to join our chat room, you can go to our Discord server by going to thefringe.fm/chatroom. More Lighting the Void coming up. We'll be right back.
I'm here.
Awesome. All right. All right. Welcome back to Lighting the Void. I'm your host, Joe Roop. We're at the top of the hour. Actually, we're at the bottom of the second hour. We're here with Constance Victoria Briggs. We're discussing the moon mystery. I've always wanted to do a show about the moon too, Constance. So this is cool.
Oh, really?
Like I've done, oh my God, like almost 700 shows, and I've never done just a show about the moon. So I don't know why. I'm like, man, we should have done this sooner. So thanks for coming on.
Oh, it's great being here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, for sure. It's one of my favorite things in the world. And speaking of which, talking about the mysteries of the moon. Something that I didn't really know much about, but I'm learning about now, is the transient lunar phenomenon. You're familiar with that, right?
Yes, yes.
Maybe you can explain it to us a little better than I could.
So, yeah. So the transient lunar phenomenon are basically the talking about the lights that are being seen on and around the moon. So this phenomenon dates back for centuries, since the beginning of the use of the telescope. People have been seeing shadows moving across the surface. They've been seeing streaks of light in all different colors in the craters. Some of these lights are geometric shaped, that, you know, they appear out of nowhere and disappear. Maybe they're there for an hour, maybe, you know, several hours. Orbs circling about, and they have no clue. I mean, up until this day, they have no idea where these strange lights come from. They're especially busy in some of the craters. Some craters are very well known and watched very closely. This became such a huge deal that in the 60s, NASA created a publication where they had chronicled all of these strange lights. They wrote down the date, the astronomer who reported it. They wrote down even the time sometimes that it occurred, how long they were there. And they created, you know, a whole publication. I actually have it. You can actually get it on Amazon, or even if you're very lucky, you can download it. But they wanted also to know what was going on. They didn't find any answers. They just have a chronicle of these strange lights. But it's called the Transient Lunar Phenomena, or the Lunar Transient Phenomena is another name. And people are just, you know, at a loss to explain these things.
That might explain what Crow 777's been seeing, because he sees a lot of those shadow with his telescope, just these shadowy figures just going across the moon all the time, like all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Moving shadows, and is what I put in the book. No clue what they are. Of course, as I said before, nothing should be moving around up there, right? So what's going on? It's pretty mind-boggling to think about. So it's just one of those things that I would like to see answered. And if anyone you know, has any speculation or any information, if you're an astronomer out there and you know you've seen anything, you know, send me a note and let me know, because I'm still collecting moon stories, and we just don't know what these things are. Of course, the theory is, for me, that there is someone up there doing something, living there, or, you know, something's going on. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah, it is amazing. So but to talk about these, I mean, if you get a telescope and look at it, it's kind of addicting to watch it too, especially if you got a good one. But then, when you get in even closer, there's a lot of mysteries around the activity and around the craters too. The craters of the moon have shown to have like anomalies, or even people say there's bases or aliens in there as well,
right,
too.
Right. So some of the craters are even thought to be bottomless. You know, they go down so far that there is some speculation that if someone up there, that they may be using these these bottomless craters for ships to be going in and out. For example, that could be one means of getting them, you know, in and out, because there is the theory that there are beings living inside the moon, and which would, of course, take us to that hollow moon theory, that the theory that, you know, the moon is hollow, which is why it rang like a bell. So the theory is now that the moon is hollow. Well, what's in there? I wanted to share a quote from the scientist that I think is really cool when we talk about the hollow moon theory, and you know, just what they said about this whole thing. And then I'll get back to the craters, if you don't mind. So in Sputnik magazine, these Russian scientists said, "It is more likely that what we have here is a very ancient spaceship the interior of which was filled with fuel for the engines, materials and appliances for repair work, navigation instruments, observation equipment, and all manner of machinery. In other words, everything necessary to enable it to serve as a Noah's Ark of intelligence, perhaps even as a home of a whole civilization, with the idea of a prolonged, perhaps thousands of millions of years existence and long wanderings through space.
Now, if
that were true, if someone were there, these large craters, with which they're saying some of them are bottomless, could be a very, you know, easy way to kind of maneuver in and out, which may also explain all of the lights seen in these craters that appear and disappear. Another idea is that there are lots of caverns within the moon, and there are openings on the moon, and they could also be, you know, coming in and going through these openings. So the craters have been watched very carefully. If they've ever seen ships, you know, exiting them, I don't know, but they've certainly seen a lot of weird lights and happenings up there. So, and with the craters.
Yeah, for sure. Do you feel like, I mean, it would be too simple of a question for me to say, is there evidence of extraterrestrials on the moon? But more curious, I'm curious about is, do you believe that there's real evidence of extraterrestrials on the moon? Would you consider this stuff real evidence?
Oh, I do. I consider it real evidence because there's so much, you know, there's so much more than just, and I don't say that lightly, but just the lights that we're seeing, the transient lunar phenomena, what they're saying are ruins on the moon. We've heard for years that structures were found on the moon, you know, from the pictures taken by some of the probes that were there and sent back to NASA. For those of us that believe, and I do believe we went to the moon, you know, there were, you know, photographs taken there that were brought back too. And some reports of, you know, of the astronauts actually seeing things up there. But there are said to be things that look like ruins, like there was a kind of a war of just pieces of buildings are up there. And someone, you know, if that story's true, let's just say they are ruins. Of course, someone did that, you know, it wasn't us. So, you know, if someone is causing the lights, someone is you know, making white, what looks like white ships flying around, you know, up there in the videos that I saw. Yes, I believe this is all evidence of some sort of extraterrestrial activity. But then I am, you know, someone who is looking for that. And I absolutely believe in the idea that we are not alone in the universe. And, you know, I feel like we didn't get any further than the moon before we actually ran into something, to someone. So if you look, for example, at the Apollo, the stories of the Apollo astronauts, and some people get kind of annoyed when I bring them up. But if you look at their travels, they were all of the missions, the Apollo missions were followed by either some strange lights or some UFO. So definitely, I think that is ET connected. Now, they not only saw UFOs and lights, but, you know, there are some rumors that the Apollo 11 astronauts saw ships when they were there. I don't know if you've heard, I'm sure you've heard that story, Joe. That the Apollo 11 astronauts, when they exited the craft, they saw spaceships of some sort sitting on the crater of a moon, and they were freaked out. And as the story goes, they called on a secret line, a medical line that they had with ground control, so that the public couldn't hear them that were watching on television, and they reported seeing these things. We don't have any evidence ourselves except what some people came forward that worked there and said, you know, yeah, you know, this happened. One person wrote a book, and, you know, he wrote about the incident. And there were also the tale that some people had in the public had picked up these transmissions on their own private radios. So I would say with, you know, all of this information, yeah, I think there's ETs on the moon. And when I've talked to other people who are proficient, you know, in this field, you know, they concur. So, yeah, I believe they're up there. But who are they is the question. If they're up there, are they beings that came in with the moon and have always lived there? Are they beings that are connected to ancient aliens? As some, there's, you know, stories that say that that the moon perhaps could be a ship by the Anunnaki, you know, the gods of Sumerian beliefs that are rumored to have tampered with our DNA, and that they're somehow, you know, have a connection to the moon and may be on the moon. Is it them? Are they beings that are watching? I've heard, you know, the theory that they're watching humankind to see our progression. When the astronauts left to go, you know, on their missions, they were followed by these UFOs as if they knew what we were doing, as if they were watching. And then, you know, we have the rumor that, because we know that those are true, those have been cataloged and chronicled, and though, you know, those were real. We know that those UFOs existed and followed them. So the story is that they landed on the moon and that they were there watching. One person said from that time that they seemed to be watching to see if any help was needed. But getting back to my point, are there beings there that have been watching us the whole time, you know, to see our progress?
That's what I was going to ask you, because it does feel like, when it always feels like something's watching. It just, I can feel it. It's hard to explain, but I feel like something's watching us from there, you know,
from the moon. That's what another host said to me once. He said every time he looked at the moon throughout his life, he felt that it was some sort of a satellite with, you know, something, someone there, you know, watching us, or some could argue watching over us. You know, I hear a lot of people trying to say that there's some negativity, you know, going on, but, you know, not all is dark in this world. There were 12 men are in this universe. There were 12 men that walked on the moon. They never encountered any sort of problems up there. I mean, there are some, you know, tales in every culture of everywhere of dark and light, but they haven't found, had any problems up there. There is a story that says that we were worn away. And so there is the idea, you know, is the moon inhabited? Is the moon for a nation that, you know, was always habited? It's not Earth's moon, as we seem to think. And maybe, you know, that they didn't like us coming over there and that we were worn away, but, you know, they didn't cause any harm.
Yeah, I really think that there's something to that. Like, that's the biggest thing with me. There's some kind of energy that draws me to it, the focus to it. But I don't, you know, what's hard for me to get my head around is beings actually being inside the moon, right? Now, I did read a book by Samael Onvior. He says there's beings inside every planet or whatever, but it doesn't necessarily mean they're physical bipedal beings like we are. They could be right. Interdimensional or things like that, but right. It does ring like a bell, which does make it seem like it's hollow. So there's some good thoughts on that too, beings inside the moon.
Right. Have you heard of Ingo Swann?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Sure. So do you, I don't know if you know his moon story, but I'll share it.
Okay.
So he was a remote viewer who was very prominent in his field, and he was recruited by a secret government agency to remote view the moon. It's hard for me to explain remote viewing, but it's sort of, I want to say, a projection of your consciousness. I'm not quite sure how to explain it, but he could tap in and see the moon, what was going on there. And he had proven himself because he remote viewed Jupiter and saw the ring of Jupiter. And so that was true. And so they thought by sending him to the moon, perhaps, that he could give them some information. So he goes with his remote viewing, and he sees beings on the moon. He sees structures on the moon. He sees workers, he said, creating a laser in the moon. I have his book, Penetration. And so I had gone back and sort of reviewed and researched these things. He was someone who I trust because of his track record that he had, you know, witnessed something up there. There is a story, he said actually that the beings up there had sensed him, and they were humanoid. They had sensed him and were able to somehow consciously, or I don't know how they did it, but followed him, you know, back somehow to Earth, and they really frightened him because they could sense him.
Wow.
Anyway, for more information on that, his book is Penetration, and of course he explains it much better than I can. But that's the summary of what happened. So yeah, he said that they're up there. And also, if you're at all interested in contactees, there are some people who are in contact with extraterrestrial beings, and a few have said they've gone to the moon on ships with their extraterrestrial companions, and they, at least three of them have said that there are beings on the moon. They noted areas that had even some sort of vegetation on the moon, areas with water on the moon, and one indicated that there's a bit more atmosphere that we are aware of. And one of them said that he had seen, it may have been Adamski, George Adamski, had said he had seen people up there that lived on the moon, and he saw craft coming in, and that they had a bartering system, these ETs, where they were switching supplies for minerals from the moon with these others. Very interesting stuff. Being that the moon is landlocked and we can only see one side, who knows what could be going on the other side of the moon, you know? So, yeah, I thought that their stories were interesting too.
Well, yeah, that was what I was talking about before we started discussing that. Is because I'm into astral travel so much, I'd love to go up there and see what's on the dark side of the moon, right? But, you know, what I want to do, too, since we're about to our last break here, is I also want to talk to you about any other contactee stories on the moon. And you discussing that about Ingo Swann kind of made me think about the Betty and Barney Hill case, too. Like, when they went through their regressions and they talked about the things they saw, that he said that these beings could just would stare him down and made him, like, paralyzed in fear from it. You know, like they were communicating through him, but without speaking. Mm-hmm. Some really powerful form of telekinesis or something that they had over him. And to hear a grown man like Barney Hill scream mm-hmm. in terror, you can only mm-hmm. imagine, right? What that's
right.
like. So.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Also, if anybody else has anything or any input or any experiences or things they want to talk to about the moon with our guest tonight, the call number is 1-800-588-0335. This is our last break of the night here on Lighting the Void. We'll be right back right after this. Don't go anywhere, guys. All right, I'm going to grab a drink. Be right back. Welcome back to Lighting the Void, 1-800-588-0335. That's the call-in number if you want to talk to our guest, Constance Victoria Briggs. But you can go to the website, too, for references, ConstanceVictoriaBriggs.com, excuse me. Author of Encyclopedia of the Moon Mysteries, Encyclopedia of the Unseen World, also the Encyclopedia of Angels, and the Encyclopedia of God, which is something that you brought up, Constance, that really kind of hits home to me too, is the Ark story, right? Could that have been the whole story that we see in scripture, the deluge story? Could that have actually been about the moon? You know, I'm circling back to that because that one thing does kind of hit home to me, actually. So that must be something that comes up for you a lot as well, too.
Do you mean the moon coming in to our Earth vicinity causing the flood of the
Either causing it or being some type of arc to create the manifestation of physical life, you know?
Right.
We look around on a lot of planets, even, and we don't see, as much as evidence there is of aliens, we really don't see anything teeming with life like the Earth is, right?
Right,
but
right.
The most mysterious thing that sets us apart from other planets, besides the perfection and the distance of the sun, is the moon, our moon, and its orbit. It's really its mysterious activity.
That's right.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, yeah, there's no other moon like it in our solar system. That's all I was going to say.
Yeah, so it makes me think for sure that it's some type of catalyst for a human life, for consciousness to be alive in physical form. And even in some ways, if you study like dreaming and astral travel, it also seems to be not only the thing, now just hear me out because I know this is going to sound weird, but not only the thing that keeps us in bodies, but keeps us conscious, but also the thing that kind of keeps us trapped in the body, maybe, if that makes sense.
Hadn't thought of that.
Because reading these esoteric scriptures and stuff, they talk about our lunar bodies, that when we learn how to traverse the lunar realms, which is the internal realms, the dream world, the astral realm, all this stuff, that this is the place where we're supposed to learn to become our solar beings. So we have these physical bodies, and I don't know if you've heard of this or not, but then we have these lunar bodies, which we dream in, or we have out-of-body experiences in, and then once we learn how to develop from there, then we have solar bodies where we can travel in starlight and we don't lose our consciousness, so to speak. But the moon keeps us in this karmic cycle. So that's just what I've studied, and it kind of feels real to me. I'm not sure if you've heard anything of that or discussed that with anybody.
I don't know much about that. No, actually, it's very profound, though. I really am interested more to learn more about that. Yeah.
Yeah, because all of the planets have these energies, and in ancient astrology, you know, the seven ancient planets, they considered the moon to be one of them. And they also considered Saturn to be the thing that controls all the rules, laws, regulations, and there's a whole alchemical thing there, too. But it would make sense, and it does make sense to me that happens. And even Carl Jung talked about that in his books, in the Red Book, of this weird feeling of consciousness, like he was in a river of consciousness that ebbed and flowed, but he was also subject to it, like maybe a piece of sand would be in the ocean. Like, there's really nothing he could do about it, almost as if it trapped his consciousness here in a way. So it's kind of strange. I don't know. I just don't want to bring that up.
Sounds amazing. I'm not an an expert in that area, but I really I like it.
Now you've had several experiencers talk to you about this, right? What are some of the other things that they've seen on the moon that we haven't discussed?
Well, you know, I wanted to get into a little bit of some of the structure type things.
Sure.
That we've
seen. Yeah.
One of the weird things that have been seen up there are domes, lighted domes that appear and disappear, as if someone has, you know, created them, and, you know, it's almost like they need them to, they are under the moon, and the domes, you know, are some sort of technology maybe to because you can see the energy coming out of them. Some people believe that, okay, maybe it's helium-3 that you're seeing, you know, glowing, because, you know, there's rumor that, you know, there's a lot of that up there, and I'm not a scientist. I don't know how all that works. But, yeah, these lighted domes have been seen. They'll be there, and then they disappear. There's one very famous story of astronomers in the 50s who spotted a bridge, a man-made bridge, they said. They were, this one astronomer had been studying the area, and it just sort of appeared one day. It was 12 miles long, and it reached from one mountain peak to the other, and he said it just popped up. And so another scientist had to come in and look at this too, and concurred that, you know, he saw it, and then it disappeared. A few years later, it disappeared.
Wow.
And their theory was, okay, there are people there, and they made this thing. And when they found out that we were maybe watching it over time very closely, that maybe they just, you know, dismantled it. I forgot your question, Joe.
I asked you about if contacts have seen, like, what other contacts have seen on there, and you wanted to talk about the structures too.
That the structures had been seen up there, and you know, those kind of things appearing and disappearing. They've seen geometric shaped buildings. They've seen areas that look like, they said, the astronauts that looked like someone might be mining up there. Just
right.
All kinds of strange things going on. There is one area, and it's in a NASA photo, where there's a light and a circle, and I swear it looks and has been referred to as a Stargate.
Huh.
Some, it looks like just like that TV show, that Stargate.
Like Stargate, yeah.
This thing is blue, and it has that sort of oval, the circle around it, like some kind of halo or something around it, and it's been dubbed, you know, the Stargate.
Right.
You know, they've seen, like, there are some strange blue lights that appear on some of the NASA photos that the astronauts took while up there. They can't explain these things that show up and move around, and they're very pretty.
Wow.
Anyway, I've seen the pictures.
So the moon is just full of mysteries, and that is amazing too. I got to get into this more. Let's see what we have on the phone lines. There are phone callers here, I have to say, to our guest. The 978 area code, you're on the air with Constance. Victoria Briggs, who are you speaking with?
The Night Stalker. What's happening? Calling from work.
The Night Stalker. What's up, brother?
I'm getting a little echo here, Joe, but I'm going to try to ignore it. So if I ramble, it's because I'm
hearing
myself.
Yeah, just go ahead. What's your question?
So I have two quick questions. One is, you mentioned, Constance, how these things are coming in and out of the moon, and it could be the Stargate or whatever. I know Crow 777 thinks that that's exactly what it is, that the moon is a portal, and he traces it to Hindu astrology and the moon being Ketu and the sun being Rahu. These they represented as deities, and they're like Ketu specifically is supposed to have properties of like life creation. So Joe, that ties into what you're talking about with like having the special quality of like to bring life on the planet and a consciousness connection. And but it also is known for having a mystery light. So my question is, have you heard, this is a really weird one, but have you heard the idea that the moon is actually supplying its own kind of light somehow? And people have been talking about it apparently with like a really, with a thermometer that goes to like a few decimal points, you can take the temperature in of the moonlight, and then next to it in the shade, so no moonlight, and it's actually warmer without the moonlight. So basically the moon is providing cold light, it's giving off cold light. So people point to there's different theories about it being fake, and that's why. But it's also the idea that it's two different types of light, one the sun being septic and the moon being antiseptic, and it's like a life and death cycle that's naturally baked into the system that we're in.
That would make sense esoterically, for sure. Interesting stuff, Night Stalker. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Thank you. Yeah.
Later. I'll great show you guys.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
You ever heard anything like that?
No, I did not know that.
I didn't either.
That's pretty amazing. I really love that comment. Yeah.
Yeah, that would make sense. Based on a lot of the esoteric teachings and stuff too. Let's see on line two here. We have 563 area code. Looks like maybe New Mexico. You're on the air. Who are you speaking with?
Oh, hey Joe, it's me, Steven in Illinois.
What's Illinois? Okay, what's up, brother?
Hi.
Yeah. Actually, it just at 563 is Iowa. Just to let you know, but I'm in Illinois. But
I don't know. My phone line system's all jacked up. But what's on your mind?
Well, I just had a question about the moon as far as how it appears. I had seen a documentary on Gaia about that, about how the moon is and what it looks like. But have you heard of any theory that they covered about actually what it looks like? Because what we see is actually a muted version, basically. Mm-hmm. Like it's more colorful than what we actually can see. Have you heard
right.
that?
Right. So, you know, there was one of the astronauts, his name is Alan Bean. When he retired, he started painting. I don't know if you've heard this or not, but he made paintings of what he saw while he was up there. And his paintings are full of color, of the moon, on the moon. Basically, the moon has color. It's not just this white plaster of Paris looking, you know, object. And so, yeah, I have heard of it. And it's something that I don't know, you know, why that isn't shared. But definitely, if you've got someone who walked there and he's trying to show you what he's seen, I mean, look him up. Alan Bean, his work is phenomenal, and it's full of color. It's all wow. about his trip on the moon. Mm-hmm.
Is it like more all the colors in the rainbow, or is it, obviously only the ones we can see?
I don't want to say that the colors weren't as, in his paintings, aren't as brilliant as the rainbow. They're muted, but they're color. You know, there are some blues and some greens and, you know, and some reds in there, you know. So, there is more color on the moon than I think has been shared with us. And I have no idea. Why that can't be something we know. So.
That's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very good.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for calling. Yeah. Thanks for giving us a call. Anybody else wants to call in and talk about the moon with our guest tonight? You can. It's 1-800-588-0335. This thing is just full of mysteries. This is the most mysterious satellite that we see in space every night. And I'm still learning about new mysteries today. That's crazy about this thing. Never heard of the light.
Yeah, one of the reasons I put this little book together is so that, you know, people who haven't heard this information before can maybe, you know, or you can Google and just, you know, do their own research. Just find a little entry in there. You know, you can look up the astronauts. You can look up their names. You can look up, you know, who might be on the moon or, you know, just, you know, flip through it. It's very, you know, interesting. Look up structures, lights, you know, and do your own research. I just think that we should know. I think that the information should get out. I think that most of the people who were around when they were doing the missions to the moon have passed on, and people don't know that they could just go to the, you know, NASA website and look at some cool photos that were taken up there, and that it has such an interesting history. And that, yeah, there's something going on. And it will be interesting when they return in 2024, they're talking about, to, you know, what they find. You know, if you believe that we went to the moon, we only, cover, well, less than 1% of the moon's surface. There's a lot, you know, that hasn't been explored. So I suggest people do their own research, you know, gain some information, and, maybe we can all kind of one day know what's actually happening there.
I hope so, because that is really fascinating. I hope that we do learn that. But do you think anything's going to come of it with all of the moon mining that's going on between China, Russia, and the United States? Like, surely we're going to get some feedback. Obviously, anybody that's into conspiracy is going to say they're going to keep a bunch of stuff from us. But they really want to bring us to the moon, too. So maybe we'll all get a chance to see or learn more about it. I don't know.
Well, you know, there's going to be some competition. And I don't know how long they can, you know, keep a lid on things, because someone's going to come forward and talk more about, you know, what they've seen. Some of the other countries have taken pictures, too, that, you know, have had mysterious images in them. You know, we've had pictures, for example, of monuments that were mysterious. So did Russia, I mean, Soviet Union at that time, took some pictures of monuments. China has had some strange things happen. They sent up a probe that stopped working, and the officials said there, oh, they think maybe there was some extraterrestrial intervention, you know, with that probe not working. So once, I think there's going to be a race to the truth. I don't think that we, officials want to be the last to, you know, make this formal announcement that, hey, they really did, you know, find something up there. It's not like it was in the 60s when they were, you know, kind of trying to cover things up. There's too many people going up now. So.
Well, I think we'll start discovering some more, too. If they don't manage to destroy each other from their own greed from mining the moon, maybe they'll take the more exploratory approach, which was what I'm hoping for. And some of us regular citizens that have enough guts will go up there and check it out and let us know what's really going on, you know. But
right. So they're saying that they're going to be, that there might be mining for helium-3, and you know, whoever gets to that first is going to be, you know, the most powerful, I don't know, nation on Earth or something. I don't know anything about that stuff, but that's, you know, just what I've heard, that they may be mining, you know, looking for that. Yeah.
What are some of your, out of all of the mysteries that we've discussed, and I'm sure there's many more, but since we're running short of time, I kind of want to ask you this last here, like, what is your favorite mystery of the moon?
So when Apollo 17, the last Apollo mission, and the last men who walked on the moon, by this time, they had a little dune buggy kind of thing where the astronauts could drive around the lunar surface. And these astronauts were going on along in their little buggy about their business. And the audience on Earth was watching. And as the story goes, Walter Cronkite was the announcer. And as these astronauts were driving and the camera was pointing forward, it spotted something. It spotted what is said to be a large structure, rectangular, that looked to be the same material as the surface of the moon, which, you know, is this very fine kind of dust, but the same kind of color. It just kind of blended in with the moon, except it was a structure in front of them. And so the Walter Cronkite said, that looks like a man-made structure, like that. And then the feed was cut. The feed was cut after he said that for 20 minutes. And when they came back, he said, oh, they told me that the little lunar rover, which is what the buggy was called, the lunar rover accidentally took a picture of itself.
That I do remember seeing that. I watched that, too. I remember that. That's pretty trippy Let's go to the, we got like a few minutes left. Let's go to the phone lines here. 406 area code. You're on the air with Constance Victoria Briggs. Who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Catalina.
Hey, Catalina. How are you?
Oh, doing good. So, yeah, I've done a lot of history like you too, Constance, on the moon. And so there's been a lot of whistleblowers, a lot of books written of all different things that have been going on there and different theories. So I was right there with you most of the show. I've definitely heard a lot of that different information. I think there's a possibility that the Space Force is going to be doing a lot of disclosure. That's the kind of the word that's been going around, that we're going to get a lot more information, so that could be coming here pretty soon. And whatever's been going on the moon, I've found it interesting. In the beginning of the show, Joe was saying that he was looking at the moon, and there was a time in my life where I used to go out at sea at night and on full moons, and going out, and then the full moon's reflection on the ocean when it's got the swells coming in, and I used to just literally just fall in love with the moon. I mean, it was like it was a lover to me. And that's what I find interesting about the moon, too, despite everything that's on there. Has that ever happened to you?
Yeah.
Where you fell in love with it?
Me?
Oh, I fell in
love. Yeah, go ahead, Constance.
I fell in love with the moon. Yeah, you know, when I was a child. I mean, I still run when there's those huge full moons. We just had the wolf moon. Just magnificent. I still run in to the window and run outside, and my family are like, you know, it's the moon. You've seen it before. Oh my goodness. But yeah, that's who I am too. I have followed in my car, you know, the moon when it's that big, just to find a place to sit and look at it, you know. So I agree with you, and I would love for them to, come forward and tell us more.
Yeah, we can all.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for your call, Kat. Yeah, I agree too. We can all only hope that when whatever they're doing, the Space Force thing, and you know, I'd like to. I know there's a lot of conspiracy around it, but I would like to think and hope for the best when it comes to that. You know, that we're going to get some real information and reveal some of these mysteries. You know, Richard Hoagland and many other people. And you too, Constance. A lot of people have discussed this thoroughly, and we want the answers to it. And this has been a really cool show to do about the moon. It's the first one I've ever done, and I can't believe that. I was thinking about that when we started the show. Like, it's my favorite thing in the sky. How can I have not done one about the moon? I've done one about Mars, but so yeah. Thank you for coming on and talking to us. And as far as your book your books. Where can people find your books? The best place to get them?
Amazon, of course.
Amazon, okay.
On Amazon, right? You can get it on Amazon or Google it or order it from Barnes & Noble or go to my publisher, which is the Ancient Aliens People, Adventures at Unlimited Press. It's there. Or you can also get it on my website. Or if you want to contact me with questions, ConstanceVictoriaBriggs.com. Also on Facebook, I have a Moon Mysteries page where I talk about mysteries there, and I post cool pictures and, you know, cool information. And, you know, look for that. Also, there's Constance Victoria Briggs page where, I post some things there too. So
fantastic.
I'm on Twitter too. Twitter too, guys.
Everybody go give her a follow and check out her books. And thank you so much for coming on Lighting the Void. It was a real pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun. And thanks to you and the callers and the listeners. So thank you.
You're very welcome. And thank you. I want to say the same thing. Thank you guys for calling in. Thanks for listening tonight. We'll be back tomorrow night with open lines as we head into the weekend. If you're listening on the Fringe FM, which I'm pretty sure that's the only place you can listen to the show. But if you're listening, stay tuned for The Secret Teachings with Ryan Gable. You guys have a good night. Sleep tight. Night-night. Sweet dreams. All right. Thank you so much for coming on, guys. It was really cool.
Thank you. I hope they liked it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my audience? Talking about the moon? You bet.
Okay. Thanks for letting me chat with you, Joe.
Oh, sure.
We'll talk again sometime.
Absolutely. Anytime.
All right.
All right. You have a good night.
Take good care. Bye now.